John chapter 13. Father, we pray that as we open the word, you would open our heart and our understanding, because we need you to proclaim your truth to us. Lord, we all need you. And Lord, we have individual and personal unique needs this morning, and you can minister to every need. So we ask that your spirit would have the freedom to reign, that your will be done. Jesus is going to get the glory, and Lord, that your kingdom is going to grow. So open our heart, help us to get to know you and to know you better, and help us, Lord, to be more faithful, even as your witnesses following you, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. We read these words, John 13, 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, please notice these words, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Thank God. That's not just a them, that's a us. He loved us. He's loved us to the end. He goes on in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garment. That would be an outer garment, like a cloak. Their robe would be what we call a tunic, maybe just a straight robe, and they would typically have an outer garment over it called a cloak. And it says that Jesus removed that outer garment, and he took a towel and girded himself with that towel. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This morning, I would like to just point out that the towel and the tomb are two important objects in the ministry of Jesus as it relates to us today. I always want to emphasize that it's practical, it's a now word, that this is something for us today. So the message is just real simple. It's three items, really. The towel, the tomb, and the testimony. The towel, the tomb, and the testimony. And just so you know, I'm going to spend more time on what the ministry of the towel represents. I want to say that because please don't think, and I don't believe probably any of you would, or most of you would certainly, but just so that there's no misunderstanding, just because I'm going to spend more time talking about what Jesus did with the towel in no way minimizes the tomb or the testimony. But you'll see, with God's help, he'll show us how they're all connected, all right? So it said in that John chapter 3 that he loved them, he loved us, or John 13, to the end, and he knew what the Father had called him to do. Everything Jesus did was out of his love for us and in obedience to his Father's will. Everything Jesus did was out of his love for us and in obedience to his Father's will. And if you look at verse 15, John 13, 15, the Bible says this. Jesus said to his disciples after he washed their feet, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you." And then verse 17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, Jesus is our example in humble, just being humble. I'll say it that way. In being humble and serving others out of love. Jesus is our example in being humble and serving others out of love. But he didn't stop there. That's a great message. We could all use that, couldn't we? I mean, think of what the world would look like. How different it would. Well, let me make it more personal. Think of what the church would look like if we just embraced humility and served one another out of love. What a difference could the church make in the world if we live by that one truth? There's more. He says this in verse 6. This is chapter 13, verse 6. Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus said this, "What I'm doing now, What I'm doing, you do not understand now. Hold on. What was their mode of transportation back in the day, the most common mode of transportation? And they're on dirt paths, dirt roads, they're on rocks, some cases sand, and it's dirty. Washing their feet was their culture. They knew exactly what washing your feet. If picture it as they're coming into a holiday meal, and you've been out doing yard work or working, and your hands are just dirty and grimy, someone is probably not going to let you just show up at the table. I can tell you if you're married, and they're going to be like, wash your, or if you got to, you're living with your parents, you need to wash your hands. That was just part of their routine. It was their culture. But Jesus said in that verse, he said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you shall or you will know after this. See, again, washing their feet was part of their culture. But when Jesus laid aside that outward garment and he took a towel and he girded himself with the towel and he went and poured water, washed the dirt off his disciples' feet and dried them with the towel, he did much more than what the disciples realized at that moment. In fact, Jesus gave us a picture of what he does for everyone who believes in and follows him. He gives us a picture. That's what he was saying. It's not just about the dirt on your feet. I'm giving you a picture of something far greater. And the Bible says, in fact, if you look down at verse 8, just the first part of that, because Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. All righty. Here's a picture. Just like Jesus laid aside his outer garment and girded himself with a towel, the sinless Son of God, the eternal sinless Son of God, laid aside the outward manifestation of his heavenly glory, and he clothed himself with human flesh. Jesus became a man without sin, just like God originally created Adam. He became a man without sin, but why? He came to rescue us from sin and death. I'm just knowing me, I believe I would have been like, Lord, no. Especially if I didn't just have like the cleanest feet I ever had in my life, had a pedicure or something, which I don't even get. But I mean, I can tell you, I would not want Jesus cleaning my nasty, dirty feet. Some of you can relate, maybe. I'd be like, no, Lord, I'm good. I'll go clean myself. Where's the hose? But you know why I wouldn't? Because I'd be embarrassed of how they might look or smell. They have odor eaters back then. But Jesus has seen far worse in my heart. He's seen rebellion, and he's just seen self-will, and he's seen, I want to hold resentment in my heart or unforgiveness. I don't want him cleaning my dirty feet, but he's seen worse in my mind. He's seen impure thoughts before. He's seen manipulation and conniving and how I'm going to work this out. He's seen worse in my attitude of just being selfish. Jesus has seen worse in my actions. The truth is, we've all broken God's commandments. And we are contaminated and defiled by sin. It's in our hearts. And we cannot make ourselves clean before a holy God. So Peter was saying, you'll never wash my feet, But again, at that moment, he didn't understand that it wasn't just about the dirt on his feet. Sin separates us from a holy God. And here's what the scripture teaches. Two types of death. The Bible says that the penalty or the wages for breaking God's commandment for sin is death. We all know what physical death is. But the reason we die physically is because the entire human race has been infected with the deadly virus of sin. And death is always separation. Physical death is separation of the spirit, the real person, from our body. And spiritual death is separation from God. And it's not just separation in this life. It's separation forever in a place Jesus described as outer darkness. It's separation forever in a place Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for us, but if somehow we're not rescued from sin and death, we're separated from God forever. There are two words this morning from Scripture that change everything and give us hope. But God. But God. Would you say that with me? But God. It words it like this in Scripture in Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, separated from him in our trespasses and sins. The Bible says that God loved us so much that he gave his son to die in our place. Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross, pouring out his life's blood, bearing the judgment for our sins. You see, the cross reveals both the wrath of God against sin and the love of God for the sinner. I will say that again. The cross reveals both the wrath of God against sin and the love of God for the sinner. Thank God. I love that pivot. Then Jesus said again, John 13:8, Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." But Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Do you see how it's a much greater message than just washing the dirt off a dozen guys' feet? He said, if you don't let me wash you, that's why he told him, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but one day you will. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus is the only one qualified to cleanse the heart of sin and bring us to God. I said, he's the only one qualified. People may have good intentions or whatever else, but only Jesus is acceptable as the sacrifice before a holy God. But just like when our daughter was living at home, if she brought a friend of hers over, you know, if someone came to the house, we didn't say, oh, will you make them stay outside and you can come on in. If they came with Brittany, they got in. The Bible says Jesus, the just one, suffered for us, the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. You want to get in the Father's house? Get with Jesus. Jesus gets us in. He brings us to the Father. Would you turn to chapter 11? Just back two chapters, John chapter 11. And this Jesus illustrates it here at the tomb of Lazarus when we talk about the two different deaths. The towel, the tomb, and the testimony. The towel, the tomb, and the testimony. The Bible says this, John 11, beginning in verse 25. John 11, 25. Jesus is right by the tomb of a friend of his who was still in the tomb. He had died 4 days earlier. His name was Lazarus. His sister came out to meet Jesus when she heard he was going to the grave there. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die," that's physical death, "he shall live." Verse 26, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." That's spiritual death. So do you see how one day we're going to die, all right? The latest statistic I just heard, 10 out of 10 still die. We're going to die one day. That means our body's going to stop working. And the real person is going to go somewhere. But if we know the Lord, and if we're with Jesus, we will never die spiritually. In other words, we'll never be separated from God. We will be in His presence when we take our last breath. The forgiveness Jesus offers is available. The cleansing Jesus offers is available. The eternal life Jesus offers is available, but it's not automatic. That's why he says at the end of verse 26, do you believe this? We can either believe him and receive him, or we can, for whatever reason, not believe and reject him. So he says, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, that means the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. See, when we come to that place where we believe, we realize we've sinned. I can't cleanse my heart from sin, but I'm thankful. I also realize there's a God who loved me, and he sacrificed his Son in my behalf. I read about an account back some years ago, maybe you've heard of it, over the Mississippi River, there was a drawbridge. And one day the man who operated that drawbridge took his son with him to work. And somehow the son slipped out and got caught in the cogs of that drawbridge. And he hears the sound of a train whistle coming, and it terrifies him. And he knows their train is loaded with passengers, but his son is caught. And the only way that all of those passengers are going to be saved if he closes that drawbridge and his son is killed. That man buried his face in his elbow and pulled that lever. I don't know if I could have done that. I'm not in that position, and I wouldn't have wanted anyone to die on my account. But I don't know that I could have done that. But when he saw the train go by, he looked up and he became angry because he saw passengers in there, businessmen reading their paper, kids eating their snacks, and he was angry because they didn't care that he sacrificed his son for them. But in fairness, of course, they didn't know. But there is one who sacrificed his son. And he did it to close the bridge between heaven and hell. And we could not close that bridge on our own. But he closed the bridge so that we could come across. And he did it over the life of his son. But his son is not dead. 3 days later, he came back to life. And if we believe in our heart that Jesus really is Lord, and we confess him as Messiah and Lord, we are forgiven of all sin. This picture, like Jesus, the Son of God, figuratively, gets down and pours water over us and cleanses us and dries us with the towel and presents us clean before a holy God. It's the towel, the tomb, and the testimony. Would you go back to John 13? John chapter 13. One day, yes, our bodies are going to stop working. But see, if we know the Lord, when Jesus returns, even the dead bodies are going to come up out of their graves, not only be raised, but be glorified to be like his glorious body forever. I'm looking forward to my new body. I'm figuring I'm going to be at least 6 foot. And tall, dark, and whatever. No. Kim's saying no. she's trying to make up for it now. She says, oh, no, I like you like you are. That's what she said. You would like to have it. No, you wouldn't. Whatever the Lord has will be just fine. Thank God. Would you look at verse 9, John 13, 9. John 13, 9. Jesus, again, after washing the, came up to Peter. He said, if I don't wash you, you have nothing, I have no, you have no part with me. Verse 9 says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then give me a shower. He goes from one extreme to the other. He said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. But Jesus said to him, he who is bathed, notice this, needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are already clean, but not all of you. Why do you say that? Verse 11, for Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Do you see that it's more than just washing the dirt off their feet? If you are not a Christian and you become one, I want to tell you something that you may not realize. You're forgiven of all sin. God credits you with his righteousness. His Holy Spirit will live on the inside of you, and he'll help you to live for him. And when you become a new creation, the Bible says we're born again. And when you start your new life in Christ, it's a daily walk with Jesus. You'll walk with him, and on the front of your bulletin, you see there where it says our purpose statement and then our priorities. There are five activities that help us know our Father better and help us to grow more like Jesus. As we hear and do God's word, we pray, we worship, we fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we share our faith. We do those activities not to become Christian. We do those because we are Christian and we want to know our Father better and we want to grow more like Jesus. But I'll just let you know a little secret, okay? If you become a Christian, you follow Jesus, there are times when you're going to still fall short in sin. Do you need to get saved all over again? Do you need to become a Christian again because you had a bad attitude or you were selfish or you? No. But you do need to repent and receive the Lord's cleansing in order to stay in close fellowship with him. If you want to write these verses down, these are good verses to know. And we'll finish up in John. But they're found in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the light is like represents his word. The Bible says God's word is a lamp, a lamp unto my feet. The entrance of his word gives light. So we're walking in obedience to God. We're walking in fellowship with one another. So it's if you picture it like this. So when I wake up in the morning and, you know, whatever is on my mind, I eventually turn to the Lord, then I'm walking with him. And so I pray and I tell him, you know, I'm asking maybe God to bless Kim, bless Brittany, or guide my day, to use me, open doors. Even Sister Pam shared with us recently on a Zoom meeting, surrender your day to God. So I surrender my day. I surrender myself to God. Try to focus on some praise, open the word, and we're fellowship. As we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the towel. It's the cleansing. Now, if we say that we have no sin,
that's right.
We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Please, you're not that perfect. We've all sinned. But if we confess our sins, that means I'm not blaming. Well, you made me angry. I'm not making an excuse. I was tired. No, confess means say the same. So, all right, I've sinned. Now, I did something wrong, had a bad attitude or whatever it was, and there's a little distance between us. I'm still a Christian. I'm still a follower of Jesus, but now there's a little distance between us. But if we confess and say the same thing, no blame, no excuses, that was sin, and I'm sorry, I was wrong. My heart is repentant. And in faith, bring it to the Lord, then his blood continually cleanses me from all sin. Thank you. Because the Bible says he is faithful and just. Just means, let's say I was a bad attitude, I was selfish. That The price for that bad attitude cost Jesus his life on the cross. So when I confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's like Jesus comes when we just bring it to him and say, Lord, I was wrong. I said this, I shouldn't have, or I did that, or whatever it may have been. Jesus, if you could imagine him pouring the waters of his mercy over us and drying us with the towel of his grace to keep us clean and keep us in close fellowship together. That's the ministry of Jesus with the towel. Thank God. Thank God. That may sound great, but it means absolutely nothing if Jesus is still in the tomb. However, if Jesus came back to life from the dead, like he said he would, it verifies everything that Jesus did. Would you turn to John 19? John chapter 19. The towel, the tomb, I told you I'd spend more time on that one, but these are important. The tomb and the testimony. John chapter 19. Because I want to point out, there is evidence that Jesus came back to life from the dead. And multiple eyewitness accounts. It wasn't just they all got together in a room. Jesus appeared to 500 people, over 500 at one time. But it was different places, different locations, different people, different settings. He ate with them after he came back to life from the dead. And every one of them were willing to give their lives based on that truth. You know, fulfilled prophecies are another evidence that Jesus came back to life from the dead. In Isaiah 49, 6 and 7, it was a prophecy written about 700 years before Jesus was born that a Jewish Messiah would come and he would be a light to the nations of the world. I don't even know another person in history who claims to be the Jewish Messiah who started a worldwide religion mainly to non-Jews. It includes the Jews as well. The thing was, it was not only written 700 years before he was born, it wasn't fulfilled until he had come back to life from the dead and returned to heaven. We're sitting on the other side of the planet now because Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. But the empty tomb is also evidence because it's not just an empty tomb. The details of the tomb were pointed out so it would not be confused. Would you look at verse 38, John 19, 38? The Bible says this, that Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. That's talking from the cross. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips and linen cloth with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Notice verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day. It was not only a new tomb. The Bible says it was recently cut out of a rock. And it not only said it was new, no one had ever laid in it before. Because sometimes they would just put the bones in there, let them basically decay, and then put them in a box called an ossuary. No one had ever laid in it. It was a new tomb cut out of the rock. And the specific owner was mentioned so that it could not be confused. Think about that. Let's say the resurrection was just a hoax, it was a fake, and they got together and said, hey, let's just tell everybody he came back to life. All they would have had to do, anyone could have said, wait a minute, there's a body, you're lying, or no, this tomb is occupied. And that could have ended Christianity 2,000 years ago right then. But neither happened. Because Jesus really did come back to life from the dead. And the tomb was empty and there was no getting around it. They had to make up a myth that the disciples came and stole his body. You could only come up with that myth if the body was gone. The towel, the tomb, and then if you turn to John chapter 20, we'll close with this. John chapter 20. And while you're turning, I was thinking about this morning. Would you look inside the empty tomb and receive a proclamation of hope today? Some people just need hope. It's tough to live. It can be dangerous to live without hope. Look inside the empty tomb and know there's a living hope today. Look inside the empty tomb and receive the promise of new beginnings today. What you've done in the past can be wiped away. It can be cleansed. Look inside the empty tomb and receive eternal life. Look inside the empty tomb and be filled with a message of freedom and victory today. There's victory and freedom and new beginnings and new life and living hope because the tomb is empty. And when people saw Jesus come back to life after he was dead, you know what they did? They gave testimony to others. That's what it says here in John chapter 20. And the Bible says this if you look at verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. The Bible says that, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, this is their testimony, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I think many of us can relate to Thomas. We don't want to be gullible, and it does require faith in God and faith in his word to become a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. We could say that, though, about any belief system. It takes, if you want to call it faith, to believe that nothing created everything, that there's no creator, no God, no, you know, we just kind of accidents, and we're here by accident. It takes faith, if you want to call it that. But Thomas said, no, I got to see some evidence. But God gave us evidence. But he meets us where we are. And the Bible says this, again, if you just look at verse 26. Verse 26, the Bible says that after 8 days, the disciples were together again, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and all of a sudden he just appeared in the room. He stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Go ahead. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. That was his testimony. That was the testimony of Thomas. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So the testimony of Thomas, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. I've seen you. But Jesus said, not only we can believe without seeing, but we'll be blessed for believing without seeing. Last two verses. The last two verses of that chapter, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Thank God. My Lord and my God was the testimony of Thomas. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your testimony? You don't owe me an answer, but one day we'll all give account to God for our answer. The towel, the tomb, and the testimony. Would you please think about this? Is Jesus your Lord and your God? And if he's not, will you open your heart today? And will you believe with your heart that even though you've sinned and sin separates you from God, you are loved by that same God. And Jesus died on the cross and he conquered death. And if you will believe in your heart and confess him as your Lord and your God, then God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. His Spirit will enter you. And he will help you follow Jesus if you just trust him. Maybe someone is here today and you say, I know I'm a Christian. I know that I'm born of God. But when you talk about not being as close as I once was or not being in full fellowship, I can relate to what you're saying. Then I'll say to you, if you are not in close fellowship with your Lord, will you come to him now and just in simple repentance and faith bring it, confess it to the Lord, and let him cleanse you from all unrighteousness and receive his forgiveness? Are you thankful this morning for his love, for his sacrifice, for his cleansing, for his Holy Spirit to help us follow Jesus? The towel, the tomb, and the testimony. He cleanses us because he's alive, and that's our testimony. And if it's not your testimony, will you make it yours today? Can we bow our heads and just close our eyes and just look to the Lord in prayer again, just with your heart focused on the Lord right now? I'd like to pray for you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just come and draw us to Jesus and draw us to whatever the need is. For some, the need is to come into your family. For some, Lord, we need that living hope. Lord, for some, it's cleansing and renewed fellowship. For some, even maybe healing in their heart, emotions, memories, in their bodies. You are well able, and you are here to meet the need. So whatever the need, may you draw us to yourself and your will, Lord, in Jesus' name.